Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Twenty-odd years ago, I was a youth pastor. I was playing a game of rugby league at a youth camp. And I played for about 2 minutes. I was running the ball up deep, from deep in our own half of the field, when two guys, one from behind and one from the side, tackled me at the same time. So I didn't see this coming. And as I fell, there was a sound a bit like this. Yeah. I knew that legs weren't designed to do what my right leg was currently doing. The angle just was all wrong. It had a life of its own. And that tackle, I did my AC ligament. Couldn't walk for quite a while. Had a bruise from my toe to my hip. Never seen anything quite like it. My wife Steph was busy juggling our young kids at the time, her other commitments, as well as picking up my slack for the family. So I was largely at home by myself. We had let our lives get far too busy. I got quite depressed and hid in my sad little hole, feeling sorry for myself having a one-person pity party. Then one day the phone rang. This young woman at church had a problem that she wanted to talk through with me. I wanted to say no, because I felt like rubbish. But Jesus said something interesting in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Well, that's all well and good, but how could I help her from the low place that I was in? But I thought, well, you're her pastor, she needs you. So I said, all right, come over. We talked, and to my surprise, she left with much more clarity than she came with. Then I had another similar call, and then a couple of days later, a third. Each time I was kind of helpful, even though I was in far worse shape than any of them. Jesus said that you and I are the light of the world. Significantly for me, he didn't say, be the light of the world. Or do these three things, starting with C, all of them, and you will be the light of the world. These verses are a statement of present reality, of present identity. You are the light of the world now, even if, like me, in that story, you're in quite a bad place. Now, Jesus said these things to his disciples at the start of his ministry. And when we think of these disciples, we tend to think of these, we've seen the movies from the 1950s, these big buff fishermen with barrel chests and big beards, and they're sort of tonsing around like this because they can't really turn very easily because the muscles are so big. You know, the pin-up boys from Fisher Folk Monthly, James is Mr. January, Phillips Mr. February, and so on. But one thing we know about this little band is that only two of them were 20, Peter and Jesus, because they were the only ones who paid the temple tax. So it's likely, most likely, the rest of them were these skinny, zitty teenage boys. It's a bunch of boys sitting there listening to Jesus say this. And what's more, they know almost nothing at this point, because Jesus hasn't told them. It's only Matthew 5. All they know is that he's going around saying, people must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. They are the light of the world as they sit there, ignorant and uncertain. Strange, eh? So I think for us, we need no theology degrees, no super Christian virtues. We are the light of the world now. I was the light of the world sitting at home feeling sorry for myself in that story. You are the light of the world sitting here now, whether you are hanging off my every word, fantasizing about lunch, or fantasizing about someone attractive you met recently. You are the light of the world. Somehow, our connection with Jesus, which was all those young guys had at that point, makes us the light of the world, the hope of the world. The light which reveals the true nature of things and which shows the way as light does. Now, Jesus goes on to say that a city on a hill cannot be hid. Jerusalem's a city on a hill. Apparently, you can see it from miles and miles and miles away. Palmerston, north, you can see from an hour's drive away at night, and it's not on a hill. Although if a city could be hidden, it would be Palmerston. It's like Rangiora, but bigger. We are the light of the world, whether we like it or not. And the light of the world should not be hidden. It makes no sense to have a light and then to stick it under a basket, does it? It defeats the light's reason for being. Lights are lights. They're supposed to be like lights, to shine out. Now, conservative Christians, of which I am one, have often seized on the next part of the verse that the lamp gives light to all those in the house. Thus, some people have been taught to take the truth and shine it all around our world, pointing out all the world's problems. It's faults, it's deviant sexuality, it's materialism, it's marital breakdown, all this sort of stuff. So people will see that they are not following God as a result of living in our light. And they'll change for the better, apparently. But if you look carefully at this verse, I don't think that's the focus. Look at what he goes on to say in that second paragraph. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's the application verse. In the same way is like the arrow. We're to let our light shine in front of other people. The Jerusalem Bible helpfully translates this in people's sight. So they might see what? Their shortcomings? Their need for God? No. So that might see our good works and give glory to the Father. So the light is on us revealing what we do. Not what the evil, mean, bad world does. It's what we do. We're to let our light shine. Not try to restrict it, because that's very hard to do. And if you've ever played with a torch, and if you're ever a boy, you will have, it's quite hard to capture light. It kind of has this habit of sneaking around the edges, and it even will go through your skin. Light is irrepressible. So when my life is bathed in light, what will you see that you don't already? Well, even if I'm not flaunting my good deeds in the showy attention-getting way, a lot of the good I do will still be visible. And who will get credit for that? Me. I've talked about this a number of times. I was a student chaplain once at a rest home. And while I was there, I visited a former colleague's mum several times because she was quite worried about her. My friend was rapt that I did that. And did she give glory to God? No. She thought I was Christmas. And I'm sure many of us have had that experience. And if you try to sort of deflect the praise onto God, you either look like you haven't got the good grace to take a compliment, or you're making a shameless grab for the spiritual high ground, you know. Oh, it wasn't me, it was God working through me, sort of stuff. Woohoo, aren't I amazing? So not only are I really good, I'm really spiritual as well. Either way, God doesn't get the glory. Now, if people think I'm wonderful, that's great for me, but it's not advancing the gospel. My good deeds don't witness to the truth of the gospel that I'm a wretched sinner saved by grace. Those who are fond of saying my life is my witness of the gospel, I think are quite wrong. My life, if it's a good one, is a witness to my own goodness. So how is it that our good works will give glory to God and not to ourselves, as that verse suggests? Well, my view is that if people only see the good stuff we do and our best public face, they'll either smell a rat and be put off. Or they'll think, oh, I can never be as holy as you. You're special and I'm just a nobody. But what happens when you put the light on you? Well, if I put the light on my shirt, such as it is, see, the button's undone. Didn't notice that, did you? Little thread down here that's sort of trying to poke through. There's probably the remains of the curry from 2 weeks ago that won't quite come off. I'm a messy eater. If I ever die, the CSIs will not have a problem. They'll be able to recreate my last 10 meals. I look better in the dark. Don't know about you. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say. When you're in the light reveals what would otherwise be hidden. An example, this is one of my heroes, late Henry Nouwen, Catholic priest. He wrote In the Name of Jesus, which I think is probably the best book out there on leadership. And he wrote The Wounded Healer, which is one of the best books around on pastoral care. All through his life as a celibate Catholic priest, he struggled with his sexuality. I praise God for this guy. Because if it wasn't for God strengthening him, he could not have made it. Nouwen was this broken man who God did great things through. His life glorified God because he was prepared to be seen for who he was and that he had these struggles. Another example, I think, is the disciples themselves. This motley crew of teenage boys, who as I mentioned before, who ultimately lived Jesus' command to let their light shine before others in the very Gospels that they wrote. I think one of the best reasons to trust the Gospels is if I had been one of them, I would have not made myself look a putz for centuries and centuries to come. I would have been the hero. I would have been Rod, the good disciple, who did everything right. But that's not how they presented themselves. They look foolish, they look bumbling, they look cowardly, which makes what God did through them all the better, all the greater. God was glorified through their good deeds. Jesus turned the Galilee country B team, took that team and turned the Roman world upside down through them. And it's through their faithfulness that we're here today. They were being prepared to be seen as they were, warts and all, particularly Peter. Now, I told you about the story about the pastoral chats I had when I was laid up with a busted knee today, because I want to give God the glory for what happened in that week. Because it wasn't me. I was full on wrestling with self-pity, and self-pity was well ahead on points through most of that week. God did good things through me and despite me, not because of me. He deserves the credit. God is glorified when his broken, sinful people persevere. When we show the whole iceberg of our lives, not just the tip. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to put our whole life in front of everybody, because that would be to cast our pearls before swine in a lot of respects. But I think we ought to be letting the people who we are getting to know see more of our struggles and our weaknesses. They should encounter the whole person, not just our best public face with a plastered-on smile. No. A recent discipline of mine has been when someone I trust asks me how I am and I'm a bit out of sorts, I won't say fine, I'll tell the truth. Now, I may not put everything on the table because that might not be appropriate in that relationship. But I won't pretend that everything's okay. And I found that quite liberating, actually. At least they can see me lean into God and that I don't have it all together. And I don't have to try to pretend that I will, that I do. Now, to focus the point a little bit more, I have grown up kids who are not following the Lord, and I know that many of you do too. Does this biography describe you? I've been part of the church for most of my life, And I've always supported it. Try my best to live a good life and be a good Christian. Usually generous. I feel bad when I gossip. Pray a bit, but not as much as I'd like. I was and am a good parent and a good citizen. I pay my taxes most of the time, and I've done voluntary work through my life. Never committed a major crime. Generally reckoned to be an okay sort of person. But you know, I could always try hard and be a bit better. Is that you? Is that you? My witness and your witness to our kids in particular should not just be a good life well lived as I've just described, it should be a good life well lived by a wretched sinner. Our kids, whether they're 9, 19 or 49, need to see who we truly are. Are you willing to truly live in the light, to live good lives that glorify God by seeing for who you are? If our kids can see our brokenness and our sin, they will have hope in the Christian gospel, the hope that God can change them and do great things through them as well. This is what it is, I think, to be the light of the world. But if we downplay our shortcomings, then people may praise us for our good deeds, but they won't praise God. Otherwise, if it's all about us, we're the star of our own story. Whereas we're supposed to be trying to live into his story, where he's the star. Now, I'm not saying that opening up your life to your kids will automatically see them come to their own faith. I think that process is so mysterious, you can't reduce it to a formula. But maybe they'll be able to see the God that saved you and is saving you. The God that loves you and is gracious to you despite your struggles. That's a good witness. There'd be a powerful witness to the Christian gospel. Who knows what God might do with that? They might be able to see the reality of character of God in your story, your full story, warts and all. Share your struggle with your kids. Commit them to the Lord. It is what I'm trying to do with my kids. Can I recommend it for you? Let's pray. Lord God, give us the courage to be ourselves. To not go through life sticking on the happy face when we're dying on the inside. To share our joys when we're happy and our laments when we're not. That people would be able to see who we are and who you are in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.